Good morning. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Please turn off all cell phones. Today is Monday, March 8th, 2021, and the time is 9:03. Today with us are Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Von Imhoff. Good morning, everybody. Senator Olson.
Good morning.
Senator Wilson. Myself, Senator Bishop, Senator Hoffman's on other state business, as well as Senator Willikowski, but their staffs are here and they're attentively listening from afar. So with that, our support staff this morning, good morning, Laura and Carson. Today's agenda is Senate Bill 19, extending the Special Education Service Agency, Senate Bill 22, repealing the intensive management surcharge termination date, confirmation of the governor appointees to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority Board of Trustees. We will be moving the hearing for SB 19 to the end of the agenda today to accommodate the sponsor, who is in another bill hearing at the present time. Any business to come before the committee today before we start? Seeing none. SB 22 is up, an act repealing the termination date for intensive management hunting license surcharge. This is the second hearing for SB 19 in Senate Finance. We heard public testimony on March 7th, and we closed testimony. My intention is to reintroduce this bill, cover the updated fiscal note, and look at the will of the committee. With that being said, here to reintroduce the bill to the committee today, Senator Rivak is, I believe, online, and his trustee staff, Emma Torkelson, is here in person. Emma, please come to the table, introduce yourself. Let's see, is Senator Rivak, do we have him on the off-net? Is he available? So let's get him in the queue, and he can introduce himself and just give us a brief update of the bill, and we'll move forward.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Senator Rivak. For the record, represent District M. Thank you very much for hearing SB 22 again. I have my staff, Ms. Torkelson, coming up, and she'll give the committee some updated information, if that's all right.
That's fine. Is that all your comments, Senator, at this time?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I just appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Emma, do you have anything to put on the record about the bill you want to say?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just that it leverages federal dollars for the state, allows us to let the users fund the bill, and it helps us maintain wildlife populations and promote food security across Alaska. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Next up, do we... Eddie Grasser, can we go to Eddie Grasser from Palmer from the Department of Wildlife Conservation?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Eddie. I'm on the line.
Thank you. Mr. Grasser, are you prepared to cover the updated fiscal note, or would you like our staff to do it?
If you could have your staff do it, that'd be fine.
Thank you. We'll take a brief at ease. Back on the record, Ms. Torkelson, if you please put yourself on the record again. I don't believe I heard that, okay?
So sorry, Mr. Chair. This is Emma Torkelson, staff to Senator Rivak.
Thank you. Ms. Schein, would you cover the updated fiscal note for us, please? And you know the drill.
My pleasure. For the record, my name is Erin Schein. I'm staff to Co-Chair Bishop and the Senate Finance Committee. The updated fiscal note was requested by our office from the Department of Fish and Game. The repeal date is December 31st of 2022. That means that there's a half of a fiscal year where there's a fiscal impact in fiscal year 23, and then the out years remain the same. So the $1 million was removed from fiscal year 22 as this bill doesn't impact that year, and there's only a 50% effect in fiscal year 23. And that's what this updated fiscal note reflects.
Thank you. Questions from committee members?
Yeah.
Okay, seeing none, I thought I heard online there somebody saying something, so I was just waiting for somebody to respond. Thank you, Ms. Shine. Any questions from the committee on this bill? Any further questions? What's the will of the committee? If I could have a motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Bill 2232-LS0208-A from committee with the new fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Thank you. All right. We'll take a brief at ease while the bill packet comes around. Back on the record, I'd like the record to reflect that Senator Wilikowski has been at the table and is with us. First up on the agenda, we will move to the confirmation hearings for the Mental Health Trust Authority Board of Trustees. First, we'll hear from Rhonda Boyles. Ms. Boyles, please introduce yourself for the record and begin with your testimony. And we did.
Thank you.
We did hear you last year as well, so thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Yes, because this is kind of the second go-around. I didn't send my resume to everybody. I apologize, but I'll take probably 30 seconds to go through it here. It's going to be fast. 44 years, as you know, living in Fairbanks, a lot of public service, a lot of volunteering in the community, owned four restaurants, sold them, and then served as the Fairbanks North Scarborough Mayor for one term. I had to relocate in 2016 to get medical support for my husband, who had diffuse Lewy body disease. We moved to Phoenix, where I enrolled him in Banner Alzheimer Research Program. He passed away, and I sold my home in Fairbanks, purchased a condo in Anchorage, where my son is, but retained rental property and, of course, a lot of interest in the interior, and spend a lot of time there. My resume is diversified, and as a retiree, I do have the time and the resources to volunteer in this capacity, which over the last 14 months I have learned is very time-consuming. There's a lot of reading, a lot of homework, a lot of research, and I've come full circle to understanding that the relationship between the amount of time the trustees spend and how much of a learning curve it is, and the obvious and drastic extreme need for our dependents and beneficiaries in the state of Alaska. So it's a labor of love, and I'm appreciative that you're considering confirmation of my continued service as a trustee, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from committee members? I don't see any from the floor, Ms. Boyles, but I just would like to echo, I guess, since you've made inference to it that you've been there not quite a year yet now, but and into the workload that's required of you as a trustee, and so it's good to see that you're still continued with the mission of supporting the board.
A lot of work that I just can't turn my back on. I've had to read and learn too much, Senator Bishop, and it's a critical part of our state, and something I've never really spent a lot of time in my career working with was beneficiaries like this, and fully understand the value and the importance of a trust concept. So I'm very anxious to continue.
Thank you. Senator Stebbin has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just kind of curious what Ms. Boyle's thoughts are on annually inflation-proofing the mental health trust versus letting it go uninflation-proof for numerous years and building up a liquid reserve that... So I'd like to hear what she thinks about that.
Did you hear the question?
Senator Stebbin? Excuse me?
You heard the question?
Through the chair. Yes, I did. Uh-huh. And through the chair to Senator Stebbin, inflation proofing, I don't want to get into why it hasn't been done. That's kind of looking backward. But going forward, I think it's critical. It's a very high priority on my personal agenda, should I be reconfirmed. And I think that I probably could speak for the majority of the trustees to that effect, too.
Thank you for that comment. And seeing no further questions, thank you for your time, Ms. Boyles. And we'll be moving next to Brent Fisher. Mr. Fisher, are you on?
I am, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Could you please state your name, put yourself on the record, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, and to you and the members of the committee. My name is Brent Fisher. My wife and I have been married for 40 years, and we have five children. I am a veteran of the U.S. Army Medical Service Corps and started my career in the military after college. My degrees include a bachelor's degree from Brigham Young University with a double major in international relations and Portuguese, as well as a master's degree in business from the University of Texas at Austin with specialties in international strategic and healthcare management. I am board certified in both hospital and medical group management and have been elected a fellow in both the American College of Healthcare Executives and the American College of Medical Practice Executives. My career has been primarily associated with healthcare. However, it includes a wide variety of organizations, including hospitals, both academic and community, large medical groups, hospice care, engineering and manufacturing of medical device and pharmaceuticals, as well as software development, consulting, military medicine, private equity, and startup ventures. My writings have been published in numerous journals, trade magazines, and newspapers. I'm a big believer in giving back to my community, and I have served on the board of directors of several professional associations, as well as on boards of civic, business, and religious organizations. I am grateful for the opportunity the governor has given me to serve as a trustee for the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority.
Thank you for that. Your resume is impressive. I'll open the floor up to questions from committee members. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So one of the things that I was looking at last time we had the Mental Health Trust here was just the 25% used for administrative services. Has the Mental Health Trust at least done like maybe a peer review with other similar organizations around the United States to see whether 25% is within the typical margin for administrative expenses, or is it on the high side, on the low side? It just, you know, without really knowing, it just seems at first blush it's maybe on the high side, but again, I could be wrong, and I think if there was perhaps a peer review, we might feel a little bit more comfortable with that.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that's a good question. I'm a new appointee effective January 18th. And so I'm not adept at answering all the different kinds of questions. I know that that question did come up in one of the meetings in the last month, and that's being considered. You know, one of the things that is a particularly expensive part of administration is the trust land office, because there's 1 million acres of land there that needs to be managed. And so some of that, a significant amount of part of that goes there. But I can't answer that definitively at this time. I just haven't been there long enough. I think the question you raise is a good one, though.
Thank you.
All right. Other questions from committee members? I have just one question, Mr. Fisher, is if you had one overarching principle that you wanted to bring to the Mental Health Trust Board and try to accomplish in your tenure, what would that be?
Well, through the chair, Senator, I believe that the major responsibility of any trustee is, when you have trust funds, is to make sure that those trust funds are available for future beneficiaries. And so I'm not aware of anything based on my experience so far that is more important than making sure that those trust funds are utilized appropriately for the beneficiaries and last in perpetuity.
All right, thank you. Seeing no further questions.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one.
Senator Olson, excuse me.
Mr. Fisher, thank you very much for making yourself available for this position. I looked through the resume and I see you have held a number of executive positions, president of this, president of that, CEO of that, whatever else. But as you look at the trustee situation, what makes you think that your abilities are going to be able to transfer into budgetary issues that are so important in this trust area where, and not necessarily from an executive standpoint?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, thank you for that question. Part of the responsibilities of the trustees is to make sure that the trust funds are managed well. And my experience as an executive, particularly in looking at new ventures and investments in new ventures, I think directly applies to the responsibilities of the trustee. I also, as you see, I believe you have my resume as well. I've been in a number of positions on boards where we had responsibilities for trust funds of some kind. I've been, the uniqueness of this particular position at the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority Board is that it's a fiduciary responsible position. And not all board positions have fiduciary responsibility. And I've had numerous opportunities on different boards, both civic and independent nonprofit, where as a board member I had fiduciary responsibility. And so I also think that fits directly in with what the trustee responsibilities are.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher, thank you for your time and putting yourself forward to serve the people of Alaska. So next, we will go to, I believe the next up is Ms. Annette Jones.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Finance Committee members for the opportunity to speak with you about myself and the appointment to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority as a trustee. For the record, my name is Annette Renee Gwaltney Jones. I'm a lifelong Alaskan who grew up as the daughter of an Army senior enlisted non-commissioned officer and a German immigrant. A core value given to me by both parents was to serve my community and give back. I bring more than 25 years of managerial and leadership experience in human resources and social services to the Board of Trustees. My career background includes program work and development within many trust beneficiary-serving organizations in the Anchorage area, including the Ark of Anchorage, Salvation Army's Booth Memorial Home, and Covenant House. My educational degrees include a master's in business organizational management with a dual emphasis in human resources and information technology, and two undergraduate degrees, one in psychology, the other in human services. In 1992, I found a way to combine my interest in the medical field and my desire to volunteer. I took a certification course at UAA and became a state and nationally certified emergency medical technician, as well as a certified instructor for basic life saving with the American Heart Association and CPR first aid with the American Red Cross. With this, I would become part of the Alaska Professional Volunteers, a group of first responders who would provide medical assistance during community activities such as Tanaka's Karate Championship, Fur Rendezvous, and the Alaska State Fair. During my time as a shift supervisor for the Booth Memorial Home, I learned of the court-appointed special advocates program and decided that this volunteer opportunity implemented and complemented what I was doing as a professional. Shortly thereafter, I was sworn in and took on my first case as a court-appointed special advocate. Approximately 1 year later, my supervisor and I would be approached by one of the social workers who would request that I become a foster parent to a teen on my caseload. This began my time as a single parent in the foster parent program. In October of 2000, I married my husband, a United States Air Force officer, Don Jones. My father, a senior non-commissioned officer in the Army, did have a few questions. Why an officer, and why wasn't he in the Army? Those were issues that we got past. Less than a year later, after being married, our life, like every American's life, would forever be changed. Don and I were flying down to search for a home in our next duty station, Pope Air Force Base in Fayetteville, North Carolina, when the pilot announced that a plane had hit one of the World Trade Center towers. To this day, I would always remember my husband saying under his breath, that was not one of my pilots. When I asked what he had meant, he had told me that American pilots will always do their utmost to divert to a non-populated area. This would set into motion a long week as we had to return to Seattle where we were grounded. By the beginning of December 2001, we had moved to North Carolina. By January of 2002, my husband was deployed, and I was appointed as the key spouse of the 18th Air Support Operations Group. The United States Air Force Key Spouse Program is an official Air Force unit family readiness program designed to enhance readiness, personal and family resiliency, and establish a sense of Air Force community. Key spouses are commander-appointed and serve as a vital source to command teams in an effort to support Air Force families. The strategic vision is to increase resiliency and unit cohesion amongst military members and their families throughout the military life cycle. For me, I was surprised by the challenge that was presented. You see, the 18th Air Support Operations Group is made up of 10 geographically separated units, and it had over 850 personnel and their families. By September 2002, not only was I fulfilling the role of key spouse, I had accepted the staff development position with the University of North Carolina at Pembroke and an appointment by the chancellor as a staff liaison on the university staff council. I did this until 1 July 2005, when we left for our next duty station off at Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska. While there, I was hired as the Human Resources Manager for West Corporation, overseeing a recruitment team. We would also volunteer our time at local no-kill shelter. We then moved to Washington, D.C. in 2010, where I worked to help veterans transitioning from the military to the civilian world. My focus at the time was on assisting in translating their resumes written in military language to a language that civilian recruiters could understand. In 2014, we finally returned home to Alaska. After 27 years in the Air Force, my husband retired. I, on the other hand, continued in my career as a human resources professional, both with Lowe's and currently with Furniture Enterprises. I've also continued my volunteer work serving as an officer and units at the Anchorage Elks Lodge, as well as the American Legion Auxiliary. These experiences, combined with an extensive background in human resources and internal development and training, I believe brings a relevant perspective to the work of the Trust. Which brings me to where and why I'm here today. I felt that I had more to offer and can make more of an impact in my community as a whole. I understand the appointment as a trustee is a 5-year commitment. Since September 2020, I've actively demonstrated my dedication to the role of trustee. This has allowed me to offer my insight and add real value to a board working to help advance, the Trust's critical efforts to improve the lives and circumstances of our beneficiaries. Additionally, I believe that one of the key strengths I bring to Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority as a trustee is in my duty of care ethos, which is at the heart of everything I do. I would therefore be honored to continue to offer my skills, expertise, and my passion towards the Alaska Mental Health Board and steer it towards an even greater success. Again, I would like to thank you, the Senate Finance Committee members, for the opportunity to speak to you about myself and the appointment to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority.
Thank you for your testimony and introduction. It was excellent. Committee members, questions? Seeing none, thank you for putting yourself forward. And next we'll go to Anita Halterman.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you very much. Please put yourself on the record, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Senator Stedman, and the Finance Committee. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to introduce myself. For the record, my name is Anita Marie Halterman. I have been married to my husband for 36 years. We have three daughters and two grandchildren that we've raised in Alaska. I am happy to be considered for renewal to the appointment of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Board of Trustees. I actively took my role on the Board of Trustees in August of 2019, and I quickly assumed several leadership roles on the board. I have held the role of the chair for the Audit and Risk Committee for over a year. I assumed the role of the vice chair in May of 2020, and most recently, I assumed the role as the Finance Committee chair in November of 2020. Despite already starting my work on the trust, I have been anxiously awaiting confirmation. Serving on the Board of Trustees so far has been an amazing journey, one that has expanded my knowledge of mental health needs, budgets, and the many programs offered in Alaska. I enjoy giving back to my community, and in doing so on the board, I have learned about the strategies and the funding opportunities that can help shape meaningful reform for our mental health programs. And I would very much like to continue that journey. Some of you may know me from my brief tenure in working at the Alaska State Legislature during the 29th legislative session. Over the years, I have gotten to know many of you. And while I have reached out to some of you by text and phone or email already, I have not been able to connect with all of you. For those that I have not met or spoken with, I do look forward to the opportunity. I first arrived in Alaska in the mid-1980s after discharging from the United States Army, and I followed my husband, who was active duty and was stationed at Fort Greely in Delta Junction. We raised our eldest daughter there for the first few years of her life, and we fell in love with Alaska. While we watched the economy suffer and had to leave Alaska for a brief time, we came back as soon as we were able, and we have lived in Eagle River for almost 26 years. For over 26 years since our return. I earned my MBA from Wayland Baptist University in Anchorage, and I have an extensive background working mainly with Department of Health and Social Services and Medicaid programs in both Iowa and in Alaska. I spent my last 7 years working in the Department of Health and Social Services Senior and Disability Service Programs, mediating administrative appeals for program and serving as a program manager and a supervisor. I have experience working with child support, the Department of Corrections, public safety, and public assistance programs. Not including my time working for the trust, I have worked for the state of Alaska for approximately 19 years, and I have another 6 years of work experience with the state of Iowa. I have worked through welfare reform initiatives in two states, and I've kicked off Alaska's first food stamp reinvestment plan after the Department of Health and Social Service programs had been sanctioned for high error rates in the 1990s. I train staff on regulations, program and policy in the welfare offices and throughout Alaska, developing programs and reducing error rates. I have devoted my life's work to working with populations that are underserved. I find it rewarding to improve the programs and the systems in order to allow for the provision of better services to the beneficiaries of those programs. After leaving the Alaska legislature, I did start my own consulting business, joining the ranks of the private sector. I obtained licenses as an insurance producer with lines of authority in Washington and Alaska. I began working for an information technology company, working as an account executive, and most recently started work with a media production company working on sales and administration, positioning risk management solutions and human resource solutions for businesses has given me new perspective about the healthcare needs for the privately insured individuals, and it has expanded my understanding of the more global workforce issues that Alaska faces as we move forward. I very much hope to take those experiences and help reform the programs for future so that we can sustain them for populations that need them most. I look forward to continuing to work to improve the lives of our trust beneficiaries as we work in partnership with HESS and with the other stakeholders to build an integrated, comprehensive mental health program that better meets the needs of our trust beneficiaries. I want to thank you for your consideration. I appreciate your support, and I look forward to working with you all to protect the trust and to maximize its benefits to solve Alaska's mental health problems.
Thank you for your testimony. Questions from committee members? Seeing none, Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Finance Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees and recommends that the following names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Rhonda Boyles, Brent Fisher, Annette Galathini-Jones, Anita Holterman. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during a further session for the purpose of confirmation.
Thank you. And we'll take a brief at ease while we sign the package. Okay, we're back on the record. We're going to set Senate Bill 19 aside for today. Stay tuned. It'll be coming up shortly here, maybe this week. And we're adjourned at 9:45.